This morning, Joshua chapter 7, and I've entitled the sermon, What Happens When We Fail? But we should never lose sight of the fact that we serve an awesome and a mighty and a living and a powerful God that can change and transform any situation and to give hope and purpose. I just want to start with this. Have you had one of those days when everything went wrong? Yes. It's like the lawyer speaking to his client. And he says to his client, I have good news and I have bad news. What's the good news? Asked the client. The jury is in deadlock. Well, what's the bad news? The lawyer responds. They can't decide what to do, whether to hang you or to shoot you. And sometimes, as we journey with our Lord in our discipleship with him, there are things that happen that sometimes we just feel powerless in those situations. And the last time we were in Joshua chapter 6, we actually thought how God, through his supernatural power, as the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho, that God brought the walls of Jericho down. The sense of purpose, the sense of victory. But here in chapter 7 is a story of defeat and to a certain extent a story of helplessness and powerlessness. 36 men were dead. The army of the Israelites were frightened. They were confused and puzzled. And they were coming to a situation which they didn't really understand. But as we think about God's word this morning, we must never lose sight. Sometimes there are setbacks. Sometimes there are discouragements. Sometimes we do feel hopeless and helpless in the situation. But we serve a living and an awesome and a mighty and a powerful God that through those times, maybe through the valley of despair, he can bring hope and purpose and that we know his grace. And when we experience failure, the fact is it doesn't have to be lasting. We serve a Lord Jesus who ultimately won the victory through the cross and the resurrection. And as we look at this passage together, I just want to bring up really three simple points. Firstly, the defeat that occurred. The defeat that occurred. And if you follow it in your Bibles, you know, firstly to pick up from verse 7. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully. It states the situation. And then just pick up verse 3. After they went out to spy the land, when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. And do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. As they went out to spy the land, you know, we can see Joshua's strategy as a commander to spy out the land, to see the challenges, the problems, or the difficulties. But the spies actually come back. And really, they see the little town of Ai so insignificant to what God had done in Jericho. And what they are actually saying, it's easy pickings. We can easily take this city. But the fact is, Ai proved such a great obstacle. How could the defeat occur so quickly? Obviously, the real issue in this chapter was Achan's sin, because he kept some of the spoils of Jericho. If you remember back in Joshua chapter 6 and verses 18 to 19, God had given his command that all the spoils was for the Lord. It had to be consecrated to the Lord and to be put into the treasury. Chapter 6 and verses 18 and 19. And there were plenty of other cities to be conquered, plenty of other spoils for the people to claim as their own. What God was actually saying about Jericho, he wanted to communicate to his people that Jericho belonged to him. The reason that Jericho was captured wasn't because of the people of Israel. It was because of the living God. And to remind them, it was the truth of his grace. They simply receive the Israelites, Jericho, as a gift from God. And that God wanted his people to be wholeheartedly committed to him. And as a result of Achan's sin, God removed his blessing and protection from the Israelites. See, the fact is, in verse 3, it actually says, look, all the people do not need to go. It's only a few people there. We can manage it by ourselves. The simple fact, an attitude of overconfidence, reduced the size of the army. Since they did so well at Jericho, what they actually say, let us not worry about such a small place as Ai. They thought, because they simply walked round the walls of Jericho, the walls came down. Yes, but it was God's doing. They were overconfident and forgetting the simple spiritual principle that the battle belongs to the Lord, that we are called to walk by faith. And our confidence is not in our knowledge or wisdom or understanding or experience, but it is in the Lord himself. And the fact is, another factor, before they went to attempt to take Ai, the commander-in-chief, Joshua, failed to get alone with the Lord and to seek him. I think it teaches us an important principle here. We can work so hard. We can be so dedicated. We can be so faithful to the Lord's work. But we need to get alone with God, to seek his face, to seek his heart. See, Joshua failed to take time to be alone with the Lord, to seek him. There is no account of him asking the Lord what to do. He just sends out the men and they come back and say, look, we don't need to take everyone. If he spent time in the Lord's presence, he would have known about Achan's sin and dealt with it. I think how often we're just like Joshua in this chapter. There is a tendency to rush off before spending time with the Lord, drawing from his resources of grace. Because of the victory we get today, it's not enough for tomorrow. Do you remember the children of Israel? I think it's Exodus chapter 16. And they needed the manna in the wilderness. They had to take it for every day, not for the following day. Every day they had to receive it anew. And it's exactly the same for us. If we seek to be that faithful disciple, seeking to run after the Lord, we need to come to him in utter dependency and not to depend what happened yesterday. We need to walk by faith and to look to him. Yes, in our journey, in our discipleship, as we seek to serve him, there will be obstacles, there will be discouragements, there will be setbacks. But we come to a living and the mighty God, a God that can do more than we can think or imagine. Don't let a small thing like AI defeat you. Secondly, I want to pick up the desperate situation that Joshua faced. The desperate situation that Joshua faced. And we see this in verses 6 to 9. Firstly, I just want to pick up verse 6 here. When Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening, the elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. We see here, Joshua is devastated, he is concerned, and he spent the whole day on his face before the ark of the Lord. And in many ways, Joshua verbalizes three questions and two statements, which we see in verses 7 to 9. He didn't take it out on others. He didn't try to escape or repress. He did what we all should do. He took it to the Lord. And I don't know what you're facing today, what challenges confront you, but we have a great high priest who intercedes for us, a Lord who understands. And I think sometimes we need to come before our Lord and to be really honest with him and to pour our hearts out. And from verse 7, we see here his first question. And he says this, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this person across the Jordan?" The word "ah" often points to the mood and the hopelessness and defeat. With the question, why did you bring the people across the Jordan? He was acting if God was not in control. See, simply this, when our focus is wrong. We either forget God's promises or we start to question them. And his statement in the second part of verse 7, if only we've been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Sometimes how narrow our vision grows, how negative we become to God's purposes when we have our eyes on the circumstances and lose sight of the Lord. See, the simple fact is, God is never limited by our defeats. As the sovereign Lord, he's able to work out all things together for good. And to me, the exciting thing about being a follower of Jesus, we may be tossed from this situation to that situation. In Jesus, we can know that hope and that victory and that certainty. Yes, life can be hard. Life can be challenging. But the fact is, we come to a God of grace, a God who meets us at our point of need. And the second question we come across in verse 8. Oh Lord, what can I say now that the Israelites have been routed by its enemy? Do you remember back to Joshua chapter 6, following the defeat of Jericho? It says, Joshua 6 and verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. But here in verse 8, it seems that Joshua was now worried about the complaints of the people and the willingness to follow his lead. And what he's actually saying, what could I possibly say to them? This was really a prayer for wisdom. Just let me illustrate it. Joshua is actually trying to say, will they really follow me? There's a story told, a woman driving home one night. The weather was really nasty. The rain was coming down in buckets and the visibility was very poor. It's not Cardiff, by the way, all right? Seeing taillights ahead of her, she followed the car in front, not being able really to see very clearly. The car in front seemed to be going in the right direction. So she stuck with it. All of a sudden, the car in front of her stopped. She began to wonder what had happened. Perhaps a car in front hit a dog or something like that. She began to feel uncomfortable, thinking, just stopping in the middle of the road is dangerous, can often lead to accident. Much to her alarm, the car in front of her turned off the lights. Her concern was growing, as well as anger. And she was startled by the knocking on her car door window. She looked up, and there was a man standing in the pouring rain, wanting to speak to her. She opened the car window and asked the man what the problem was. The man replied by stating, that was the question I was going to ask you. And the woman responded with these words, it wasn't me that stopped in the middle of the road and turned off the car lights. The man replied was that they weren't in the middle of the road, but in his driveway. the woman had chosen the wrong leader to follow. Sometimes we can choose the wrong things to follow. We need to follow the Lord. See, Joshua was concerned about the impact of this defeat on the testimony of the nations. How would it affect Israel? Would this provide a beachhead for the enemy to start an offensive attack upon Israel? We need to be people concerned for the honour and the glory of our living God. As we scatter after the morning service, we are called to be salt and light for God's kingdom, to make that difference for our Lord Jesus. See, the third question here in verse 9, what then will you do for your great name? See, Joshua's greatest concern was that the news of defeat would somehow reduce the respect of the foreign nations for God's great name. He may have been guilty of thinking this, struggling with the situation. Our sin and failure may affect our testimony for a while, but our Lord is the great and the mighty one. And despite what happens, He is the God that can rescue. He is the God that can bring hope into a dark situation. He is the God that can turn failures into something positive. Let's move on. Thirdly and finally, the direction He receives. The direction He receives. Please look with me at verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face?" I always find that verse very challenging. See, the direction in verse 10. And I want you to notice. So the Lord said to Joshua, the living God is the God that we serve, is the God that speaks into our hearts and into our lives. And we have an illustration of God's personal involvement in our lives as people of faith. He is the living God that speaks into our lives to give us that word of comfort, maybe, that word of assurance, that word of challenge. And He says this, "Stand up." This is the command that comes while Joshua is lying on his face in despair and panic with dirt on his head. Stand up. And I find that challenging. It is actually used to stand up, to rise up as an act of preparation for action, rising out of a state of inaction or failure. Our God meets with us. He speaks into that situation. He wants to envision us. He wants to empower us. See, this is a call to decisive action that is willing to make tough decision to deal ultimately with the sin in the camp, Achan's sin. And what God is saying here, why are you lying down on your face? I want to lead you. I want you to step out. I want you to trust me even more, to know that I am the great and the mighty God. Just let me illustrate it. Some of you might know the name Larry Crabb. He was a counsellor. Young man in this particular church was expected to pray aloud in a communion service. So the young Larry Crabb felt pressured to pray, even though he had a problem with stuttering. He remembered offering a terrible, confused prayer in which he thanked the Father for hanging on the cross and praised Christ for triumphantly bringing the Spirit from the grave. Obviously, that's theologically incorrect. When he was finished, he vowed he would never again pray out loud in the front of a group of Christians. At the end of the service, Crabb made his way to the door. Before he could get out, an older man caught him and said this, "Larry, there is one thing I want you to know." The man said, "Whatever you do for the Lord, I am behind you 1,000%. And Larry says this, "Even as I write these words, my eyes filled with tears. Since that time, he became a best-selling author, psychologist, and speaker. Those words were life words. They had power that reached deep into his being." And we serve the same living God who can bring change and transformation. And what God is saying to Joshua, in view of who I am, in view of my plan for Israel, I promise to you that I will meet you. There shouldn't be no despair. See, the consequences of Israel's failure in first term, notice the word why. Achan's sin, that unconfessed sin, that general weakness, that inability to serve the Lord. We come to a God when we have messed up, when we have failed, when maybe we've committed sin, we come to a forgiving and pardoning God. And I want you to notice the direction he receives, the God who speaks, but the God who instructs. And Joshua was told here in verse 13, consecrate the people to deal with the problem, that call to that attention, that defeat. In many ways, deal with the problem of sin, but consecrate yourself to the Lord, to devote yourself, to lay your lives before the Lord. We shouldn't be held back by the past. We should look forward to the present and the future, and to believe that our God can do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. Amen.